Item 8 is the rezoning at 705 McMillan Avenue under file DAZ 213 of 2011. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Item 9, a conditional use at 705 McMillan Avenue under file DCU 135481 of 2011D. Item 10, a variance at 705 McMillan Avenue under file DAB 135469-2011. Mr. Chairperson, I have one person in support of the rest of the opposition.
All right, would Mr. Xin Yang Wang please? Are you? Okay, we need you to fill out the form and come on down then.
My name, I just put down for information.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Daniel.
More information, Daniel McGibbon?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're actually hearing in support.
Provide information. No, it's okay. You can be in support.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, we accept the verdict. It's probably improper to apply for an RMF zoning, so if we can achieve an R2 zoning and then the variance we applied for no longer applies, it wouldn't be relevant to something that would fit in R2 zoning. So we accept the decision.
Thank you.
Great.
Xin Yang Wang, did I just say anything?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're okay? All right. Anybody else in support of the application I'd like to speak to who's not on my list? Seeing none. Moving on to those in opposition, Val and Blair Bingham.
Sort of a moot point, right? I mean,
well, maybe I can just ask you, Val, have you seen the report that the planner, they've recommended, they're saying is a duplex, and basically rejecting the conditional use for fourplex, basically rejecting all but one of the variances. So it's essentially keeping it to a duplex. Is that something that you are supportive of, those recommendations? That's from the planner.
Right. I guess I feel like I wasted the evening.
Oh, come on.
No.
You never know how it could go.
I think we were all probably expecting something different. So you never know. You know, when somebody puts forward an application, you assume they're pretty determined to do it. So.
Well, which of the variants or which of the pieces have been accepted?
Okay. And I have a couple of questions to the planner about that too, but. Basically, the rezoning, what they're recommending is that it be zoned to an R2 and limited to a duplex. That would limit it to a duplex.
That's correct.
So that's for the rezoning. The conditional use, which was a conditional use to allow a fourplex, is the recommendation is rejection of that completely. So, and then the last thing is the variances. They had 9 variances, which are all being rejected pretty much. And I can ask for clarification from the planner about that. The first one that says a lot area of 4,000 square feet instead of 5,000. If you don't mind, maybe you could just clarify.
If you don't mind, let's just keep it. I know you want clear. Do you want to do that?
Then it clarifies all of our questions. It shouldn't take us too long.
That's okay, Prestige.
Thanks, John.
They need that variance in order to establish an R2 lot. The bylaw, the zoning bylaw requires 5,000 square feet. For R2, and this lot is 4,000 square feet. So that would allow them to do a duplex.
A duplex on that lot.
That's right. And then there's another variance that allows the front yard of 18 feet, 4 inches, which is this current setback of the current house on the property. So we're allowing...
It's just allowing what currently exists on the property. Instead of 20 feet, it's 18 and a half feet or something. So it's really just a minor... essentially, the planning reports recommend, and if we approve them as is, simply remains a duplex, and nothing more dense than that can be built on.
And does that include how does that work in terms of the parking? Or is it going to be parking garages the same way that's in the in the present plan?
They would have to comply with the zoning bylaw on all their setbacks, which means that they would have to have a 25-foot rear yard setback for the building. They could have a garage in the back, just like any other property.
Well, I mean, I'm very happy to hear all of that. The only thing I wanted to say is that I intend to be very helpful, hopefully, in the planning, what has to be done in terms of getting our plan done. I felt terrible when I realized that, I mean, this is kind of coming forward in the middle of the planning process, and I have to admit that I have not been the most active participant.
And there's still plenty of time. There's another design workshop coming up in the fall. We're halfway through the process. There's still lots of time for your input, and it's really appreciated when people like you, neighborhood folks, come out and take the time in the evening to tell us, you know, because then we know that you're paying attention and you're concerned and what your interests are. So you never know how these things are going to go. So I'm grateful to see your faces, and it's appreciated.
Well, no, I mean, we wouldn't have missed it for anything. As you know, I'm Val Bingaman, and I live at 709 McMillan, which is two houses down from this proposed development at Blair and I.
Yeah.
The last of the Mohicans in our house. And, I mean, I guess everyone's keen. Our neighborhood has improved, and we've got great changes going on. People have upgraded their properties and done all kinds of wonderful things, and we're thrilled to see that. But when this proposal came forward, we were devastated because it felt as if it was the beginning of the end for our block. We thought that if it was approved the way it was proposed, it would be a huge precedent, and maybe, you know, all the rest of the block would be gone as well. So that's what was the really, really disturbing thing. And again, of course, I thought about my lack of participation in the plan and redoubling my efforts to
overdevelop sense of responsibility.
Well,
it's okay.
It's just, you know, one of those things. The other big issue that we were thinking about a lot is the fact that it was right in the middle of the block and the character of the area. Someone else expressed it a lot more beautifully than I'm capable of earlier this evening, the fine balance and the sort of fragile nature of the area, because we fought many battles with the commercial development on Corridon, you mean in terms of keeping things within reason, and we've always felt that the fact that single-family dwellings are a character aspect of the area, obviously it's mixed, there's condos, there's, you know, duplexes, etc., but it has provided a very stable environment, and I think we would be correct in saying that that also has promoted the commercial development on Corridon in a very positive way. I mean, we care a lot about our neighborhood, or as do all of our neighbors, and, you know, we're vigilant. We're not prepared to see the neighborhood go down the drain just because somebody wants to. I was told these units in this brochure this was put into all of our doors, and I was told that these are going to sell for between $400,000 and $450,000 a unit, and we were pretty appalled at that. And also, I was pretty unhappy with the. I know you mentioned there's a process for developers to consult the community. We went to this gathering on Corridon at the office, and it was pretty unpleasant. And people yelling at each other, and people from the firm got into fights with residents, and it was very unruly and not really helpful. I mean, you didn't learn anything. It wasn't a meeting to talk to residents about what was going to go on.
And this meeting was after the application was already put forward to the city.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't hear about it until it was already applied for,
yeah,
as well, which is unusual, considering my familiarity with people know the process that we're involved. So anyway, I think, Val, I also just want
to put that on the record,
yes,
for you. Because
how many people were there roughly?
Well, it was a bit of a come-and-go thing because there was no formal sort of, you know, now we start, now we finish, but maybe 20-ish, around there. But you had no feeling there was any consultation. I mean, it was all this was the plan with the floor plan and everything there. So, I mean, I think. think it was a nod or a token effort to talk to the community, but certainly nothing more than that. Yep. The other issue that, as you already know, Jenny, is our back lane, and I know things have been talked about tonight, but when I heard that there were going to be four garages in the back of this fourplex, there's an 11-foot wide lane. There's no way, which is terribly maintained. It's in the middle of winter. I live on the second one off of Coburn, so I'm luckily able to get in and out most of the time. But the owner of the lane does not maintain or plow the lane at all. So those people, in my opinion...
It's not a city lane. Because I actually went there on my bike when I was thinking and looked at it. And I was I can't believe this is a lane. I said, so I'm relieved it's not something I'm responsible for as a city councilor. But that's horrible. No, I understand your concern completely.
But the city did approve it one day.
Yeah.
Way back when, they obviously let the Wellington apartments be built.
Something I'm not responsible for. No, but anyway, I appreciate, and I think it's important to hear, you know, for the City Center Community Committee to hear what you're saying. And I was really comforted. Like, I don't write the planning report. The planner writes it. And it came forward with a recommendation that I think is in sync with what everyone is saying tonight. And I'm quite comfortable with the recommendations that came forward, too, which I think is a good sign. We're talking.
Yes.
We're having a planning exercise. And people seem to be in sync on that. But, you know, there are places, perhaps, for these higher density. There definitely is for higher density ones. And in this case... We're in the mid-block. It just didn't make sense to go higher than
really
the
over the top.
But
I have to say thank you very much for Michael Robinson was the person I talked with. He was fabulous. I mean, just you're Michael.
It's him right here.
Oh, well, it was so helpful. I was so relieved to ask so many questions. And you know, so that was
thank
very
you.
Appreciated. And also very appreciative of the city doing giving us the opportunity to do the secondary plan. Very much helpful.
It's very exciting, and
yes.
It's being done very thoroughly. And yeah.
And so maybe we never have this kind of thing happening again.
That's the idea of having a plan, and I don't know, you heard that, I know everyone's wanting to get going, but just to make one more point, in Osborne Village, you saw earlier, we did approve a high density development that was somewhat complicated, but it was clearer because it fit with the plan in a number of ways, whereas... You know, in
what
this
do you,
case,
you
we don't have a plan.
Yeah.
We just have to look at each one.
That's good.
So that's good.
Let's get back to this one.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Val.
Yeah. I have two more. I have two more. Catherine Flynn.
That's me. I'm actually relieved. I've got a couple of words, and they're very general, because a lot of my concerns obviously have been addressed. But one of my concerns hasn't. I'm very curious about the house being demolished. Is that the case? The existing house is
it would potentially be demolished.
Because I have concerns about the way this firm is behaving in my neighborhood, frankly. I've seen, when they were renovating derelict houses, I think that was one issue, and everybody was kind of grateful for that. But right now, they're starting a project where they're demolishing existing houses, which are perfectly acceptable, and incrementally doubling the population of Crescent Wood and Fort Rouge, and I think that's a bigger issue. When they constructed a project near us on Gertrude and Daly, the sidewalk was closed for 3 years. There was a gaping pit to hell there. It's not a project that fits with the character of the neighborhood in any way, shape, or form. I think it was insensitively done. And I think a lot of these duplexes, the way they're going in, sure, they're jazzy, they're modern. I'm an artist. I have a background in archaeology. I'm concerned for the heritage of my neighborhood. It's a beautiful neighborhood. And problems like this are incremental, and it's an assault by 1,000 tiny cuts. And I think that we're slowly changing the character of this neighborhood, which is beautiful. It's one of the crowning assets, I think, of Winnipeg, and I travel the world, so I can say this. And I'm upset by what's going on. And I would like to not see any more good houses demolished in favor of these very sort of jazzy, you know, trendy-looking modern duplexes. And I have been to open houses. These come up for sale frequently, and the workmanship is shoddy. One of the they mentioned low construction costs, and I think they go up for sale because the workmanship is shoddy. And there are future derelict homes.
Yeah, well, some of the issues you're raising can't really be addressed in this forum.
Fair enough.
But I think it's your comments are certainly heard here. In terms of demolishing a house, we do have a demolition bylaw. So if somebody wants to demolish a house, they have to come forward with, I believe they don't have to come forward with a plan, right? But
they would have to apply for a building permit for a new
structure. New thing, which would have to follow all the rules and such. Now, obviously, we don't have design guidelines or anything in place. Part of this is, that's all part of this planning process, whether we don't know exactly where that will land. But I certainly hear you, and some of the concerns are things that
I know they're not necessarily part, but I mean, it seems like an opportunity to maybe air a few things.
Yep.
And I think there's been a lot of demolition in our neighborhood, like especially over the last 2 or 3 months. And I'm getting quite concerned over who's buying the houses and for what purpose and who's demolishing them. Because there's a lot of empty lots around and several houses have come up for sale. And it's just like I said, it's sort of incrementally changing our neighborhood. And it's a beautiful neighborhood and it's worth preserving. And I think, honestly, you know, these things come up one at a time. You know, and it's sort of like taking down a forest one acre at a time. And I really think that it needs to be looked at very, very carefully. And she talked about a meeting that was unpleasant, and it was assumed that things were foregone conclusion. And I think that, again, there maybe needs to be more consultation. And the firm, I think, needs to be more open to the concerns of the neighborhood. Just putting that out there.
Thank you for your comments, Catherine.
All right, we have Ken and Judy Hildebrand. Did you speak? Good. Now we'll go. Now I'll ask Daniel McGinnis if you'd like to come back up to rebut to or clarify anything I was mentioning.
A lot of what they said is valid. Rezoning to something extensive is definitely raises a lot of conflict. Overachieved what we're trying to do, but the like reference meeting that we called just to see if we could get some like community feedback and the thing. Maybe it wasn't done as fast as timely as possible. That's just a scheduling problem, a mistake on our part. But I don't really appreciate personal attacks against saying that it's a shouting match that we're yelling at people coming in. When you have 20 people descending into your office or your place of work and start yelling at you, which can be true, it's hard not to feel a little confrontation. So it's just it advocate they want the our firm to judge based on it. We're trying to do to get a little more public awareness on projects that we're doing. It's just not really fair to the employees, the image of the firm, or what we're doing. So that's it.
Thank you very much for your comment.
All right.
Okay.
Anything in administration?
No.
Nope.
No, I would move, this is on the
rezoning.
I would move that the report of the Winnipeg Public